like oatmeal. You can get instant oatmeal now. You don't have to wait 3 minutes for it, the water to boil. You can just stick it in the microwave and have it in 60 seconds. It's pretty sweet. Literally, the stuff I eat is really sweet. We have ATMs. You don't have to go into the get out of your car, go in the bank, pay at the pump. You don't have to go into the service station. Everything gets easier. And, you know, Amazon has a service in some areas where they will give you same-day delivery by drone to your house. That's pretty sweet, pretty quick. You know, everybody is competing on two-day delivery, you know, but we can't wait 2 days. We want it today. Amazon Go is a store you can go into, pick up whatever you want, and walk out and never have to slow down at the cash register. You know, all those people who had the conspiracy theories, they're right. They're tracking you. But in these stores, they just tell you ahead of time, we're going to be tracking you. Whatever you pick up off the shelf, we'll charge you for. You just take it with you, and you don't even check out. Whatever you want, pick it up and go. You have to pay for it, but it's quick and it's easy. Self-service lines at the store, I never go to those. I'm an old person. I don't do that. But the studies say that most people will use that rather than stand in line and wait to get their food, their items checked out. Instant gratification. That's where we live. Think about diet plans, you know. Lose 20 pounds in 2 days. You know, that's the way we want it. You know, be healthy, you know. Who wants to exercise all the time, you know? Can't you just do that once and be done with it? Think about all these gyms. You know, if everybody who showed up was a member of a gym, they wouldn't be able to hold them, you know. We think we can join and go for a week and be done with it. Or we realize you can't go for a week and be done with it, and we give up. And so we're being played by the marketers. They know us, and they play to this desire for instant gratification. And so that's what the world is like. Our series this for the last few weeks has been Into the Wild, this idea that we don't live there. That's not who we are. We are in something that we're in a big, long story that unfolds slowly. A story that has played out since creation and will not be over until Jesus comes again. We're part of a story that is deeper, that doesn't just play to our emotions, but plays to character and virtue and sacrifice, being part of something that is bigger than we are. We're not marketing Jesus. We are proclaiming the truth, the reality that the things that matter, the things that are worth living for, take time. And they're not cheaply accumulated. You know, sometimes we think good news should be easy. And, you know, that I could tell you that Jesus is going to fix all your problems. But I'm living proof that that's not how it works. It is this long, slow living in the direction of faith. And that's the great thing about the story as well. We've been talking about Moses in the book of Numbers, and the story we're talking about this morning is in Numbers chapter 27, and it's at the end of Moses' life. And the children of Israel, they've come out of Egypt, they've crossed the Red Sea, and they're in the wilderness, they've got the Ten Commandments, and now it's almost time to go into the Promised Land. And God takes Moses up on this mountain, and he says, Moses, you can look over and see the Promised Land, but you're not going to get there. He said, you know, you kind of messed up back there in the desert, and you are not going to see the story completed. You have played your part. And Moses' response is not, man, that's not fair. Look what all I did. Or, you know, I deserve to get there. Or he didn't whine or complain. His response was, well, Lord, if I'm not going, you find somebody to lead these people, to keep the story going. Moses realized that it wasn't about him. It was about something bigger than he was. And so he went up on the mountain, and he saw the Promised Land, and he realized that he had been part of something, not the main character in the story, but that God was the main character, and that this story was still going on past him. He was just in this chapter of it. This was his part to play. So we've got another video this morning. It's a Martin Luther King and kind of a very modern day Moses in a sense. So Jeremy, if you'll hit it.
Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
That was the last speech he ever gave. He was in Memphis for the garbage worker strike. And the next day, the very next afternoon, he was assassinated there in Memphis. But he knew that he was part of something bigger than just his life. He said, I may not get there, but I've seen the promised land. He knew that there was something going on that didn't begin or end with him. And that's how we are in this story that God is writing. Something much bigger than us is going on. We didn't start it and we won't end it. But we have a place and a part to play in it. And so we're celebrating today something that happened 10 years ago when a courageous decision was made, a vision was had of what could be and could become. And some people acted on that vision. So we want to celebrate. If you were here 10 years ago when that transition was made, I'm going to ask you to stand, if you would, this morning. We have any folks who were here 10 years ago? Okay. Let's go. Okay, thank you. We appreciate what happened then so that this could happen today. You know, the story goes on. And it's not about my victories or my successes. And we're not talking about, you know, setting goals 5 years down the road. And that's okay, and, you know, if you want to do that. I'm not a goal setter. I'm too haphazard, as you know, to do stuff like that. But it's about something bigger than that. It's about realizing that God has invited us to be part of the redemption of the world. That God has invited us to participate in His action in bringing the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And that's not a responsibility that He lays on our shoulders as much as it is a possibility that He invites us to live into. And so how do we do that? How do we live into this story that is glorious and humbling at the same time? Humbling because, you know, it's not about me. I'm not going to be the star of this story. But it's pretty glorious, too, because it is the only story that matters. And we are invited to participate in it with God. One thing we do is we remember that it's about people, because nothing is eternal like people are eternal. You know, we buy IKEA furniture. You know, it's pretty nice and it looks good, but we're probably not going to pass it down to our grandkids. You know, it's not going to last that long. You buy an iPhone, you don't buy that thinking it's going to last 10 years. You don't even want it to last 10 years. You want something new and something better in 2 years or 3 years. That's the way we do. You know, people lease cars because, you know, it used to be you bought a car, you kept it forever. Now you buy a car, 3 or 4 years down the road, you want a new one. You want something different, something better. And so when we talk about investing ourselves in this bigger story, what we're talking about is caring about people. Loving the person in front of us. Taking the moment to extend grace to the person who needs it. To recognize, to live our lives in a way that we recognize the people around us who need a word of encouragement, who need comfort, who need an ear to listen. Recognizing the opportunities that we have to make a difference in the people around us. If we want to be part of what God's doing, what God is doing is saving His children, finding the lost and bringing them home. And it's not just about, you know, going out and telling everybody about the four spiritual laws or sharing Jesus with them, as much as it is about extending grace that in the opportunities that we have, acting in love, being the person that they need us to be in those moments that come to us. You know, it's not about getting a plaque on the wall or building a monument or some kind of building that they put your name on. It's about using the opportunities we have to love the people that come in contact with us. And it takes a great deal of patience. You know, I thought once I got saved, it would go pretty quickly from there. You know, I'd be a better person. It would be easy to love my neighbor as I love myself. But what I've discovered is it's not easy to do either one. People can be annoying, and I can be stupid. And so it's hard for me, you know, who has been following Jesus for a long time, to get past that need to have it done now, to be patient with grace as it works in our lives, to be patient with the story that God is writing. It doesn't have to be completed today. God is not in a hurry. You know, think about the things that we've prayed about for God to change in our own hearts and how slowly that happens. Think about relationships, how much time it takes for a relationship to deepen, and about all the opportunities there are to opt out of that relationship before it gets to that place. All the things that matter take time. I wish it wasn't so, but it is. And what we deal in is truth, reality. The reality is that God's grace is at work in every person all the time. But that reality plays out over days and weeks and months and years. God is faithful to continue the story that He began. And Moses had this perspective that it wasn't just about his part of the story. There were some people who went before him, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all those Israelites who served in slavery were part of the story. But he played his part, and he knew that there would be those who came after him, Joshua, and the prophets and the kings and the disciples and us one day would be part of the story of what God is doing. The miracle is that God invites us to be part of that. We have to be patient and we have to believe that God is doing what He said He would do. To trust that grace is at work in our lives and in our world. And to give ourselves to that in such a way that God's story continues. And so what will they say about us when it's over? At the funeral or when they sit around the table after it's all over and the people who knew us best and loved us, what are they going to say about us? Will they, you know, I don't know. My kids won't be fighting over the money, I can guarantee you that. Because what little I have, I intend to spend before I go. They won't be talking about great accomplishments or titles or anything like that. But I hope what they will remember is that He was part of what God was doing in my life. That there was an atmosphere of grace. That there was something about Him that was more than just Him. That He didn't live for Himself, but He was part of a bigger story. I hope that when I'm done, there will be those who come after me who are part of this story, partly because I was part of it, that they were invited into the story because I was part of the story, because that's what God has done for me, invited me in. Moses, he was okay with Joshua taking over. He was glad the story was bigger than he was, because he knew that he'd messed up from time to time and he got it wrong. But the story is bigger than that. You know, none of our mistakes stop God's story. There's a saying I read this week. It goes something like this, that the quality of your life is proportionate to the number of times you're willing to enter awkward situations. That the quality of your life is proportionate to the number of times you're willing to enter into awkward situations. We wish we could grow and become by doing the easy stuff, by doing the stuff that comes natural to us, that instant gratification. But the reality is, grace is very awkward. Learning, receiving, giving, you know, you would think grace would be easy, but it's pretty hard and awkward and difficult to learn. But it's part of this big story, the story that expresses the heart of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that grace is sufficient and that grace is at the heart of this story. And we thank you that you are patient, that you are long-suffering, that you are in this for the long haul, that you will never leave us or forsake us, that you don't give up on us. And we thank you that you have invited us to be part of your story. And we want to be. Deliver us from the temptation to live for that instant gratification or that desperate desire that this faith thing be easy and simple. But at the same time, Father, deliver us from the fear of messing it up as well, from the fear of making mistakes or getting it wrong. And help us to trust the bigness of the story and the faithfulness of the God who has invited us into it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, let it deep.